Plumbing, it's a slow process, but it can flood your house, subside your house, cause mold. It's an issue that you just need to get done right. That's why these trades are registered. That's why we need to do things the right way. G'day, welcome to the Making with Miles podcast. I'm Miles Clark here, your beloved host, and we've got two formats to this podcast. So we've got the shed, which is where we discuss all things related to building and construction, and the real estate industry more or less through the lens of a building inspector. Other than that, we have the journey. The journey is where we discuss all things personal development, all that type of stuff. Reason we do that is because I like it and I think everyone should be a part of it, and I should probably get back to doing a couple more, to be honest. Now, on this episode, what we're going to be talking about are all plumbing issues that are very common that come up during building inspections. So you don't have to be buying a house to raise and find any of these issues. More or less, it's about understanding what plumbing issues look like, what the leaks look like, how to rectify the leaks, common problems, maintenance items, blah, 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 all those good things, okay? Now, first thing straight off the bat, plumbing issues is what absolutely fucks your house. It's what destroys it, all right? If you get plumbing wrong, if something goes wrong, the consequences are significant, okay? Similar to electrical and electrical fires, plumbing, it's a slow process, but it can flood your house, subside your house, cause mold. It's an issue that you just need to get done right. That's why these trades are registered. That's why we need to do all things the right way. All right, first things first, we're going to talk about some leaks and drips. So more or less, what's a leak and a drip? Now, this is a very simple one. It's easy to find. Go to all your water outlets, taps in the wall, so behind your dishwasher, taps on your sink, showers, basins, externally. The taps themselves, if they're dripping, if they're seeping, when they're in use, if they're dripping, these are signs that maintenance needs to be undertaken. What can happen in some circumstances, it can get to a certain point where it just continuously either, you know, maybe the seal itself just blows one day and all of a sudden your bath floods and fills and it's just wasting a heap of water, or it floods a basin and then overflows into your bathroom, or some sort of hose blows off the wall, all those types of things. That's a major issue. That's why these little minor items are worth rectifying now while it's easy, before it's too late and it's too hard and it's going to cost you an absolute fortune. Another thing we come across often, especially in during my building inspections processes, is shower recesses and in-wall leaks. Okay, so now it is common to have shower leaks. It's surprisingly common, actually, to be honest. Now, usually it comes down to sort of poor maintenance. So no one's ever re-grouted or re-siliconed the shower for about 30 years. And all that time that water gets behind there, pops off tiles, all that sort of stuff. Shower leaks, it's surprisingly common, actually, to be honest. Now, usually it comes down to sort of poor maintenance. So no one's ever re-grouted or re-siliconed the shower for about 30 years. And all that time that water gets behind there, pops off tiles, all that sort of stuff. As well as that, you can have plumbing issues. So in-wall plumbing issues. So you might have your tap set down low, you know, having a bit of a play, and up high, as soon as you turn that water on, the leak only starts when the shower's in use, okay? So there might be a leak from the actual tap set itself up to the shower rose, and you turn the water on and it just, you know, you have your shower, it's all good, and then there's been a slow leak that goes inside the wall cavity during that process, okay? Now, if there's an active leak, meaning like the mains water coming to the tap set is leaking, usually this is something that you will see pretty quickly, because the water is just continuously dripping, and then you'll see stains on walls, you'll see skirting boards swelling, all that sort of stuff, okay? So if you're seeing sort of these minor signs, skirting board swelling is a great one, because we use a lot of MDF timber. So what that means is, as soon as the MDF product gets wet, it swells, and it's quite fucking obvious to see that there are some sort of water issues. If you see any of that at all, and you've had no one else come to the house to run moisture meters or test or anything like that, you will most likely have a plumbing leak inside that wall cavity, or your shower recess itself could be having some dramas and needs a bit of a tune-up, okay? So the grout, rectification, all that sort of stuff. Now, it's important to action these items as soon as possible, okay? You want to get in there. You want to cut a hole in the wall. It's not hard to replaster and repaint. It's not a big job. You rather just spend the time doing those types of things to ensure you can mitigate those risks of water leaks, because that's not what you want. Other services in the home that you can find water issues or water leaks: you've got your aircon units, you've got your reverse cycle units, fridges, dishwashers, hot water units. Now, all these either have condensating drains, so, you know, it creates water that sort of comes down and then just sort of condensates out, which is more of the AC units. Other than that, some use water to actually create that cooling system. Obviously, a hot water system is just water. And obviously, a dishwasher and fridges, okay? The fridges have the mechanism on them to, you know, get your water out of them and stuff like that. So a lot of issues come up with this often, especially with dishwashers, is just slow leaks coming from connections here, there, and everywhere. So you might push the dishwasher in, just slowly bugger up the connection, and then water slowly leaks as it sort of drains out, or the water gets pumped in, okay? So all these things are something to be wary of, and you need to be wary of it. So as you do maintain your house and you look after all your shit, that you're actually doing all the right things and you're making sure all the water is getting captured and is going away. It's going in as it should. There's no breaches, there's no blockages, there's no issues or anything like that. Okay, so this is all things more or less internally in the home that is very critical to understand and to sort of work through. Other plumbing items that you really need to be aware of is definitely external, all right? The big one, all right? Now we're talking about gutters, in-ground plumbing, and charged water lines. Fucking the scariest of them all. Gutters. Super easy. Everyone knows if the gutters are full of shit, the water is not going to go through into the downpipes. Pretty obvious. Now, keeping gutters clean is super critical, all right? Because what can happen is if you can get blockages within your downpipe and the downpipes overfill, in some downpipes have an external overflow system where the water sort of hits and then overflows out through those little slots. Or sometimes there's a lot of heavy weather events, that water can go up into the house itself. If your house has eaves, it's going to go into the eaves. If it has no eaves, it's going to go into your fucking house or into your brick cavity and walk through the walls. It's something you don't want to be a part of. So just be mindful. Just general maintenance with your gutters is super critical. Now, that's where the water's captured from the roof itself, and then it's going to work its way down into the downpipes, all right? Next step, downpipes. In-ground, stormwater, and sewer, okay? We'll start with the stormwater. The stormwater is all the water that is captured from the roof structure itself and is diverted out to either the street or there'll be some sort of stormwater discharge, okay? Now, you can't see what's in the ground. It's hard to see if there are any in-ground damages. The only way to do it is to get a plumber that has a camera and shove it down all the stormwater drains to ensure that they're actually not blocked. There's no tree roots. They're not cracked. Hasn't been poorly installed. They're not going uphill. Things like that is very critical, okay? And the reason being is when there are damages in ground, which I've said numerous times, this is what leads to your major footing movement. So your slab heave, where the slab, you know, the soil swells and lifts the whole entire structure itself. You've got tons of concrete, but nature is just going to shaft you and it's just going to lift up your slab, get cracks, all those types of things. And as well as that, it works in the other way around as well. So it washes out the soil itself and then subsides it. So you've got no more, you know, your foundations, which is what your footings, the concrete sits on, it loses its strength. It loses its bearing capacity because it's just flooded with water, right? So then your house sinks. And it moves and it dips and it dives and gets structural cracks. The rectification process here is fucking super expensive, okay? You can be up for 20, 50, 100 grand just to underpin a house itself, depending on its size. And it's not a process you want to go down, okay? So being on top of your in-ground plumbing maintenance is super critical. Pay the $450. They don't have to do it every year, all right? You just do it once, understand if there are any issues, you rectify it, and you might come back to it 5 years, 10 years, all right? And it's going to be dependent on your property. If you've got, if you've just got a brand new house and it hasn't been done, I would recommend doing it, all right? Because it's very, very, very common for concreters to put star pickers through stormwater systems as they do their work and pour the slab because the stormwater guys come in first and then they come in later, all right? And people don't pick up on these types of things. Other than that, if your house is surrounded by trees, you're in a very leafy tree environment. Again, this is going to be more of an ongoing thing. So over a period of time, you want to be making sure you check all that in-ground plumbing. And as well as that, if you've got earthenware, which is a ceramic pipe which goes in-ground, these are very, very, very known to come apart, have tree roots go in them, crack, break, get blockages. They're absolute pain in the ass, all right? And how you can identify that is when you go down to the downpipes, you'll see just in the ground level, an orange-looking clay pot thing sticking out of the ground, which is what these stormwaters discharge into. Usually in some circumstances, it can be okay. Most of the time, this is something that's going to have to get replaced at some stage. So if you're even buying a house and you see this sort of stuff, you think to yourself, all right, maybe in 10 years, I'm going to have to replace all this stormwater anyway, okay? So be mindful of that. Now, the other one is charged water lines, all right? These stress the fucking shit out of me, all right? Now, what a charged water line is, or a charged stormwater line, is it's a PVC pipe that goes, you'll see it on the side of the house. So it won't be like a square metal downpipe. It'll be an actual solid bit of PVC. And this goes to the water tank, okay? So the water tank itself, the water comes off the roof, goes into all these downpipes, and these are charged downpipes. So they're already full of water, all right? And then what happens is the water goes in, it pushes the water through up into the water tank because it obviously sits higher, and then any sort of overflow just goes out of the water tank into the stormwater. The issues with these bad boys is that they can run uphill. They can run downhill. As soon as you put a hole in it, or there's a tiny little crack, or there's a little bit of a breakage, or something's just restricting it or causing issues, you're allowing 5,000, 25,000 liters of water that can slowly discharge right next to one specific area next to the house, which would absolutely fuck anything in that area, okay? It's going to wash it out. It's going to cause you all these major issues. It can be difficult to inspect these types of things. It's just a risky product to go ahead and proceed with, to be honest, in my opinion. So if you do have any charged water lines, you just need to be more vigilant and understand exactly where those water lines are. You're not putting trees right over the top of them. You're not putting garden beds or retaining walls or all these types of things where you have that risk of digging into it or hitting it or tree roots getting into it and all that sort of stuff. So just be mindful about that when you're doing like charged water lines. Now, other things we sort of come across with plumbing issues in homes is poor water pressure. So it's important to have adequate water pressure so you can use your house functionally, all right? You don't want to have the shower running and then you flush the toilet and the shower just turns into a dribble, all right? And now the way to check all this sort of stuff, especially if you're buying properties, I think is probably a great opportunity to do it, is you turn the shower on, hot and cold, turn the bath on, and just see, you'll be able to see the difference in water pressure, okay? You'll be able to see what's going on there. In some circumstances, you've got double story, you might not even have enough water pressure to get the second story shower going, and then you turn a shower on downstairs or flush a toilet or something like that, and the whole pressure just drops completely and you've got a dribble at the top end, which is not how you should be living. There are some things you can do to boost the water pressure. There might be a restrictor coming in from the street. Sometimes there's very high pressures that come from the street. It gets restricted when it gets to your house and then you get a steady flow from that. So you might be able to do some adjustments with that. Some circumstances, the pressures could be low and you might need to have a pump to pump and charge that line to help it get that extra water pressure. There are things you can do to mitigate and fix those types of issues. But it's, again, another important thing to look at as you sort of understand your plumbing in the home, all right? Now, other than that, we've also got sump pump failure. Now, what is a sump pump? A sump pump is a pit that goes to the lowest point of your house, and it might be in a basement or some sort of below ground level, okay? So you'll find that you've got maybe ground level and down below you might have like a little cellar, or you might just have a, some sort of basement, or you might even have a subfloor system where you sort of can you have a little fucking pool room or some shit or underneath your house. It's the lowest point. It might not just be stormwater. It could be all your aggie drains and all this sort of stuff goes into this pit and then you pump that water out. Now, ensuring the pump works, it'll probably have a float switch on it, is a pretty easy process to do. You just fill it up with water, lift the float. So it says it reenacts the idea that it's filling up with water, and then your pump will kick in and then pump all the water out, ensuring there's no blockages, all that sort of stuff. Because worst case scenario is if you're going on holidays and there's like a heavy, you know, 1 in 100 year rain that we get every 2 weeks, comes and fills up this little sump pump. The sump pump is faulty, it's broken, and then you all of a sudden you're flooding sort of low-lying areas, okay? So again, something else to consider to be mindful about and action it accordingly. With rural properties, something in particular is septic systems. Septic systems, depending on the age of them, obviously you can still get clogs, leaks, and the drains can fail completely, all right? So ensuring that you have with your plumber, whoever installed it, or just a local guy, to ensure that you have adequate maintenance schedules in place for that. It might be getting pumped out, checked out, depending on the type of system. Some are just a big pit and all the shit falls in and it sort of works its way out and then it goes through static lines through the paddock. Or it might be an actual treatment plant itself, okay? This is a bit more high tech, it's the newest sort of stuff. There's not usually any big lines. You'll have like sort of one gray line from that. Again, keeping on top of these is very important, okay? Because the last thing you want is that to get blocked or clogged. And then that sort of, again, that works back up into your house, all right? So that goes into your house. The first place is going to come up. Hopefully it comes out the ORG. If not, it's going to come up through your shower floor, bath, just the lowest plumbing waste points in the property itself. Okay. So to recap, it's just so critical to understand and be aware of the plumbing issues in properties, because this is what causes a shitload of issues in the home, okay? If you don't maintain these things, don't always rely on falling back on insurances, okay? If you haven't maintained or unclogged your pipes, the insurance is going to say, well, you haven't maintained the property itself, all right? If you have a hose just blow, that's an obvious claim, all right? If you have gutters that are full of shit, all right, and it's just flowed into your house, well, you can't claim it because you haven't maintained your property itself, right? And this is how those bastards are going to get out of all those sort of claims. So just be on top of it. Keep up that maintenance, ensuring that if you do see any damages, if you do see any stains on walls, swelling of timber, bubbling of paintwork, you might even have stains in carpet sort of just adjacent to these shower areas next to toilets. Externally, if there's something up against a wall, for example, and there's pipes within the wall cavity, you could have a pipe leak within the wall. You will most likely see it first externally through the weep holes of the brickwork. All the bricks might be wet and you'll see the water seep through the mortar, which will be dark, and then you'll have dry mortar next to it, and you can see this wet patch on the wall itself or water down low level coming actually out this weep holes itself. So be on top of it, understand it, action it accordingly, look after your shit, and then you should have no dramas moving forward. If you're buying a house, look out for these things as well, because you'll know if you're going to be buying it, it's going to be your problem. So other than that, if this provides any value, give it a like, give it a share, all those good things. Happy to help. And we will see you in the next one. Hooray.